Another day, another show, and we get underway today. A boatload of things to talk about.
I'd say another day, another dollar, but then there's taxes that are involved.
Yeah.
So by that time, it'll be down to like 50 cents.
Yeah. So, 50 cents. 50 cents.
50 cents.
Yeah.
Oh, there you go. Yeah.
Don't get me talking like that.
I would make a comment, but there is no need to at this point.
I do this all on my own over here.
Yes, you do. Anyway, my name is Jeremy Lawrence.
I'm Roger.
And I'm Michael,
the wonder producer.
Oh, have you been practicing that? I have to ask.
I haven't. That's why I didn't say it.
But it sounds making yourself self-important when you add the wonder producer. And so I'll do that for you.
Okay.
You want to try that again then?
Okay. And Michael,
the wonder producer.
Okay.
That's
totally
the part
that
you're
wrong.
Not supposed to do.
Oh.
You're
another
just supposed
thing
to say
to
your
work
name,
on.
But Roger confused you because he said your name.
Yeah. Okay. Thanks, Roger.
This is why Roger exists, to confuse the people that are producing the show. So
if you can't dazzle them with brilliance, baffle them with what I can't say.
Okay, well, along those lines, we've got a lot to talk about. A little bit later on in the program, we are scheduled to speak with a fellow host from one of our sister stations who was actually at the Detroit Auto Show. So we get kind of an insider's view, and this guy actually got a chance to vote on the car and truck of the year. So we'll find out what he thinks of these things, because chances are he's seen all this stuff.
Oh yeah, everything's there,
and looked at everything very closely. So we'll get his view on things. I say we're scheduled to speak with him because he is on the plane.
And he's flying to Duluth, so he's got to be flying Delta.
Apparently.
Yeah.
That's what he told me anyway.
The world's largest unscheduled airline.
So he says at this point that he believes he will be on the ground and able to talk with us. If he can't, well, it's flight schedules, and we understand that.
Yeah.
So, you know.
Yeah.
So that's where we stand at this point. Nothing on him if he can't call us, really. You know, it's flying. It's, you know how it is.
Yeah.
A little bit later in the program, too, we want to talk about this. Did you know that Bigfoot might very well have made its way into Michigan?
And that was part of the surprise of that story.
Mm-hmm.
What you use to attract a Bigfoot. That's the real surprise.
Well, and the interesting thing, too, and we'll talk about this a little further, is some of the marketing efforts by local businesses in that particular area. It's not in our area, but in that particular area to capitalize on this whole thing. So it's interesting stuff.
Don't you use Jack Link's beef jerky to, you know, attract them?
No, not quite. Not quite.
That's just a myth from the TV commercials. No. It's far more common. Okay. I didn't realize Bigfoot had a taste for this delicacy.
Hmm. Well, I can't wait to find out what that is.
Yeah.
You know, I think if true, Bigfoot has some real taste,
yes.
I would say.
So, yes.
So we'll talk about that a little bit later. Right now, though, an interesting story. For President Obama, he had his cabinet meeting, and he was talking with them and said that it's time for all hands on deck to assist the economy.
Mm-hmm.
And he's talking about, you know, as he leads up to the State of the Union and the different things that are happening and what he's going to be talking about. It'll be very economy-focused, as if he hasn't been in the last several years. One of the things, though, that he's talking about here, and this was a quote, he says, we're not just going to be waiting for legislation in order to make sure that we're providing Americans the kind of help they need. I've got a pen and I've got a phone. And he's making the reference there to using the pen to assign executive orders and taking executive actions and that type of thing. Now,
that's what presidents are elected for.
To take executive actions?
Yeah, that's the... If the chief executive of the country can't take executive actions, where would you see executive actions taking place?
Well,
would you hire to do that?
One of the things,
not your CEO.
One of the things that's in a little document, maybe you've heard of it, the Constitution, involves a group of people that get together. What are they called again? Congress. And that particular group is supposed to get together and legislate. You know, they go and pass laws and things like that. And then the president uses the pen that he says he has to sign those.
Oh, you must have taken a civics class.
You didn't?
Yeah.
No, I'm just marveling that, yep, that's why we have legislature.
So we have all of that in place to do things. Now, if the president is simply taking executive action on laws that are passed, things that are in place, that's one thing. But to be able to say, all right, my opinion is we need to do it this way, so here's an executive action, we'll go ahead and do that, and it fundamentally changes the way that law works in this country. I don't like it.
Give me an example. What executive actions is he proposing that you find offensive?
Proposing? I haven't seen any yet. In the past.
So this is a theoretical concern.
Wait a minute. No, this is not a theoretical concern, because in the past, he has decided to, without consulting Congress, without doing any of that stuff, his view on the whole idea of the Dream Act and allowing some illegals and that kind of thing to have permanent residence, he decided in an executive action and carried it out in an executive action to do that without Congress's help. There was no law passed that said he could do that. He just decided to do that. That bothers me. And it's not necessarily the subject matter. I say, take it up with Congress. Let's have a chat about it. Let's have a real debate about it instead of the finger pointing and that kind of thing. And guess what? If nothing gets done in Congress, well, nothing gets done.
Well,
that's the way that it's designed.
And that apparently suits your perspective, that with the most do-nothing Congress in the country's history, they're just doing nothing there.
Well, here's what happens.
Sometimes the country has to move forward.
So the president has
to run a country on a day-to-day basis. That's not the job of Congress. Let's go back to the example that you gave of the Dream Act.
Mm-hmm.
He has X amount of dollars for enforcement that Congress has authorized for him to use.
Mm-hmm.
And he has the needs as defined by the agencies. And it is the chief executive's decision to determine where that money is best spent at the time. He has to stay within the budget that Congress created, but Congress is not set up, they're not even capable of running their own organization on a day-to-day basis, let alone running a country. And
you could say something similar about Obama, but
And so the fact that he has to be the chief executive and make decisions on a daily basis how to allocate the resources that Congress approves for him, that's the way the government is supposed to work, Jeremy.
So in this case, this was a situation where Congress is not getting the opportunity to sound off and say, this is what we want done, because that's what it is. Legislation does that. The president is coming along and saying, I choose to enforce this part of the law, but not this part of the law over here. We're going to just kind of do away with that because I don't like it.
But all presidents do that, Jeremy.
And I don't like it no matter who's in office.
George Bush signed executive signing statements more than any other president in the country's history.
And I just told you I didn't like it. This has nothing to do with Republican or Democrat. I don't like a president that's going to step up and say, you know what, don't like this part, do like that part. Because you've just basically taken over and said, all right, I know better than Congress, and I'm going to do it my way anyway, even though Congress told me to do it this other way.
But in this case, you just said Congress isn't telling him to do anything.
So here's
Congress is just sitting on their hands.
Here's the thing that shows. If Congress is sitting on their hands people will finally see, hey, guess what? Congress isn't doing much. Maybe we ought to get these bums out of there and put some other people in there that'll actually do the job.
But he has a country to run on a daily basis while that long process is working its way out.
So why
he has
not,
to make decisions why not do today.
This? Why not do this? Use the bully pulpit of the presidency, go to the American people and say, look, I'd like to do this. Congress is over here doing nothing. Both parties are doing nothing. Give your congressman a call for me. Let's see if we can get this done. See if he does that sort of thing, if he's got the bully pulpit of the presidency, he could use that and get something done. Ronald Reagan did that quite a bit, and he got things done. This president doesn't seem to want to do that. Instead, he wants to do something that, in my opinion, is not constitutional.
Well, that is, in fact, your opinion.
Mm-hmm.
And the president is the chief executive of the country,
mm-hmm.
and chief executives have the ability to implement the budget that Congress sets.
Okay, well, here's the thing. Wait a minute. Back when he did that, was there a budget from Congress in place? Had they passed one? The answer is no. They had not passed. They went for a long time and did not pass a budget.
Okay. So there's you're making my point.
Mm-hmm.
There is another case where the chief executive has to run a country on a daily basis with a Congress that won't even pass a budget.
But if they don't
pass, how can you complain?
If they don't have a budget passed, how can he do an executive action to spend money that they've not authorized? How's that work? Go ahead and figure that one out. Tell you what,
let's open
Jeremy.
The
phones here as well. 382-4280 is the phone number if you'd like to chime in on this topic. 877-382-4280 is another number as well. And we've got Mike on the line. Mike from Kalamazoo, welcome to the program.
Hi, Jeremy. I'm with Roger on this. The Congress had over 4 years to get something done with the DREAM Act that would work for those people who are here and have been paying taxes, mm-hmm. and want to be here. And a lot of my students are those students who needed help. And the president was the only one to step up to help them. And it's mainly because the Republican Party dragged their feet. And so I thank the president for taking some action, the action that he could through his office. And they didn't, the Congress had their opportunity to do something. They did nothing.
So because the Congress didn't act, the president is allowed to act illegally to
absolutely
help out these people.
No, legally,
no, that's,
not
that's
illegally.
Not legal. It's not in the Constitution where he can do that because, oh, Congress hasn't passed it, so guess what? You know what? I'll make it happen.
Jeremy,
that's not in there.
So take it to the Supreme Court and see what they say, if it was legal or not.
Certainly. And when it comes down to it, I mean, you know, the DREAM Act, I have nothing but sympathy for people that were impacted by that. Let's put it through constitutional channels. Let's let the Congress talk about it. Let me finish. If Congress
chance.
Is not doing anything, then let's get some people in there that will look at it and will
That's
work
the president.
On it.
The president did
the
get
president,
in there. He's the one.
The president
was elected as
the executive branch, not the legislative branch. He's legislating from the wrong spot.
There's checks and balances, and he balanced it out because
that's
they could
balance.
Not take
That's
their...
taking it all one direction. It's basically saying, I'm in charge, and that's the way it is.
Well, I really like what he did.
Okay. Well, we'll just have to disagree on that one. Thanks, Mike.
Jeremy, sometime explain to me what you think the function of the executive office is.
Well, it's in this little document
that's called the Constitution.
Have you read it?
Blah, blah, blah. Yes.
Have you read it?
Yeah.
You have.
Have you?
Yes.
So have I.
Got a copy on me right now, actually.
I have a copy on my coffee table in front of my couch.
Okay.
So don't talk to me about reading, and don't look down your nose when you say, have you read the Constitution? That's just childish. What does the executive do?
I'm trying to ask you if you've read it, because obviously you're sitting here going, well, the president is allowed to legislate. I don't see that in there anywhere. Legislation starts with Congress. It doesn't start with the president.
What is he legislating?
He can't even introduce bills.
You, in this case, what started this conversation, you don't even know what he's going to do. So this is just flailing at blind.
I'm just saying
you don't have any idea what
in,
he has in mind in this case.
And in, as far as that goes, when it comes down to this, he's talking about executive orders, which are very limited in scope what he can pull off. I don't like it when any president uses them. I don't think that there's something that should be honored,
and,
should
you know,
be used.
We have
now,
a third branch of the government, and if you think the president is acting in an unconstitutional or illegal manner, mm-hmm. that's why we have a third branch of the government called the judiciary, mm-hmm. where you go to the judges and determine, is the law of the land, does this allow the president to do this or not? Mm-hmm. And so that's why we have three branches of government, Jeremy.
Thank you for lecturing me on what's in the Constitution. I've read it. Thank you very much.
I know that the judiciary is there. You've read the Constitution half a dozen times here today.
And you're sitting here lecturing me on what's in the Constitution. I've read it. I know what's in there. So don't start looking down your nose at me. I know what's in there.
So what does the executive do? How do you read the Constitution and see what powers the president has to execute the government?
Well, when it comes to executing the government, it involves bills that have been passed. He carries things out. In that case, bills were not passed. He's just deciding, well,
in what case? What are you talking about?
Well,
here?
We're going back to the example that I used, but let's look at it how it was. He was saying, I'm going to carry out this part of what was passed, but not this part of what was passed.
You know,
and that to me is legislating from the executive branch.
This reminds me,
I think it's illegal.
You haven't brought up Benghazi yet, but this is like the Benghazi.
What does this have to do with Benghazi?
Where Congress sets the budget for security at diplomatic missions mm-hmm. around the world. And then criticizes the president when it's not a perfect world security-wise, that he didn't move security to where it needed to be.
Mm-hmm.
The president is the chief executive officer of the country.
Mm-hmm.
He has the ability. No, he has the responsibility to live within the budget that Congress sets and still perform the government's obligations. And in the case of,
if he's supposed to carry out laws that have been passed, laws are on the books to say, and you know what? I know there are people in this country illegally who are here through no fault of their own. And I understand that, and that's something Congress needs to look at, not the president deciding, well, we're going to enforce this part of immigration laws, but not this part over here, because I don't like this part over here.
He has to do it because he's responsible for budget allocation.
But
and
he doesn't
he
have the right to decide what part of the law is good and what part of the law is not good.
But he has
not his prerogative. That's Congress.
He has the responsibility to put the dollars within the budget to where they get the most return on investment.
But he, at the same time, does not have the ability.
He was saying,
no, that's not what he was doing. He decided he didn't like a part of the law. And he decided,
money doing this.
Okay, let me talk now. He decided that he didn't like this part of the law, so he said, you know what, we're just going to ignore that. And instead, we're going to let this happen.
And we're going to focus on this part of the law. And that's what the chief executive does.
He's being selective with parts of the law. You know what? You can't sit there and select it if you are in the executive branch. That's what Congress is for. They pass these things called laws.
But
they expect them to be carried out.
You're giving more power to the legislature than they have.
It's called equal power. It's not called power in favor of the president. That's apparently what you stand for, from what I'm hearing.
That's absurd.
Well, that's what I'm hearing.
That's just absurd, Jeremy.
You could say it's absurd all your life, but you're sitting here saying the president has all the power to do everything that he's wanted to do.
Oh, no, no. I'm saying he has to live within the confines of executive power.
Mm-hmm.
And if you think there's a problem, that's why we have a court system, to look at the law and then look at what the president does.
He can just step beyond whenever he wants, and it's up to the justice, you know, the judicial branch to go, okay, well, we'll rein him in now. Instead, maybe he should just not step over the line. How about that?
In your world.
Oh, in my world.
Yeah.
Thank you for talking down to me. I appreciate that.
Well,
thank you so much.
Sometimes you need it.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Show continues, 382-4280. If you'd like to get a part of this spirited discussion, also 877-382-4280. Apparently, I'm in my own little world. Not sure where Roger is. I think he's got his own little world over there, too. So.
Well, the sky ain't blue in your world.
It certainly isn't in yours, either. Coming out to Roger's theme song, he'd just like to bang on the drum all day.
That was back when I was in Queen.
Of course.
Yeah.
We all remember those days.
Yes.
You don't even remember when Queen was a hit.
Well, no, but I have some of their songs on my iPod.
Oh, okay. Okay.
See, he's got some some taste in music.
Yeah.
He knows what's going on.
Appreciates classic music.
There you go.
And alternative rock.
From apparently classic guys like Roger. Anyway.
Right.
Had to get that in there. I really did. So, you know what? Chris has been waiting for a little while. So let's chat at Chris. Chris from Richland, welcome.
Hey, was that classic or classy?
Both.
Yeah.
It depends on who you talk to, Chris.
That's where I'm going with this. So I just want to throw out the question. So the next president comes in, and let's say, you know, it's somebody evil like Ted Cruz, and he decides to strike down all the parts of the Affordable Care Act that he doesn't like, which is almost everything. Are you okay with that, Roger?
Sure.
Okay. And then so he knew that he would be okay with that because, well, he's a duly elected president and he's got executive order. But then he goes further forward and he says, I want everybody to own a gun. And he makes everybody buy a gun.
That's what we have chief executives for.
Okay. So you're good with both those?
Oh, yeah. Guaranteed. Yep.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I'll call you back if that happens, and we'll have that discussion.
Good.
You know,
thanks for calling, Chris.
But the opposite of that is, Jeremy, are you okay with a Republican president coming in and saying, you know, let's strike down all these laws that I don't like?
Absolutely not. I don't think executive orders need to be a part of the mix. That's what Congress is for.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's the way I see it. And I you know, like, you know, a lot of the administration writes laws every day in the EPA or the Health and Human Services, the labor organization. They write a lot of laws that do not ever get passed by Congress. They never get looked at by Congress. And that really has to get reeled back because, you know, we're getting bombarded not just by, you know, the laws that the president decides, you know, I need executive action right now. But he's going about it in a different way, too. And all the administrations have been doing it, and they need to stop. Every law that comes through that applies to me needs to come through Congress, and I need to have a say in who's in Congress.
Okay. Well, Chris, we do have to run, but thanks for your call today.
Yep.
All right. And we go along from there. You know what? To change the subject a little bit, Roger, I have heard some interesting stuff about the weather here in the last little bit, just probably in the last half hour or so. We've had winter weather advisory.
3 to 6 inches, maybe. We'll find out.
That's what they're saying. And you know what? Conveniently,
because Bob is here.
We're talking about the weather. imagine that. Bob's with us. Hi, Bob.
Greetings.
How are you?
All right, Jeremy. Know. Roger, how are you?
Good.
You know, Bob, I don't know how you know that we were going to talk about the weather at just that moment.
It's just strange how that happened.
Yeah. You must be clairvoyant.
Yeah.
I guess
well, that would be very helpful in my profession.
So this winter weather advisory is in effect now. What's that all about?
Winter weather advisory is, we talked yesterday about snow on the way, as we've got a system that's coming through right now. There's actually two rounds of snow. The first round is light snow. It's wet snow. It's not generally going to be much of a bother. The second round is mostly lake effect snow showers that kicks in during the night and continues tomorrow, and as temperatures drop, that's going to be the more significant of the two. So that's what we have to look to here in the next 24 hours.
Okay.
Winter weather advisory starts at midnight, goes to 1 p.m. tomorrow.
Okay, so what kind of accumulation are we looking at when it's all said and done?
We're expecting anywhere from a half inch to 2 inches tonight, covering to maybe 2 inches, and another 1 to 2 inches tomorrow. So when it's all said and done, most of the area getting 2 or 3 inches. Now, I heard you say something about 3 to 6 inches. In the advisory, if you read through the fine print, which covers a large area, talks about 3 to 6, but that's not pinpointed to Kalamazoo. If you read the actual Kalamazoo forecast, the actual expectation from the Weather Service, which is not me, says 2 to 3 inches tonight and another inch or less tomorrow, which is pretty close to what I was saying. So I don't think we should anticipate 3 to 6, probably closer to 3 rather than 6.
See, so Bob, this is why we have you read the fine print for us, you know. So,
it's really closer to the lakeshore where the 6 inch is going to happen?
Yeah, it's not necessarily close to the lakeshore. It's wherever the bands are most persistent, be that west, be that north, be that south. Up to pinpoint that down right now, but in general, closer to the lake, whether it means southwest or northwest, time will tell. But all areas, even without a Lake Michigan being involved, I think all of us will get at least an inch or two tonight and tomorrow.
Okay, so given all of that, what is our word for the day?
The word is correction. Actually, I wrote down adjustment or correction, and I was thinking of the stock market. You know how when there's like a crash or a tremendous dip in the stock market, or there's like an unusual spike where it goes really high, and then you see it go the other way for a few days, and analysts always say, the market is going through a period of adjustment or correction.
Mm-hmm.
You ever hear that?
Sure.
I'm not an investor, but I've heard that, and I've often thought of the similarities between predicting that and predicting the weather. And I would think of this as a meteorological adjustment or correction, because we went through last week, which was on par with Fairbanks, Alaska, not Michigan. And then we adjusted and kind of overcompensated. We've had 5 consecutive days now with temperatures above average. And now we're going to compensate and correct back the other way, back to a little bit colder and closer to average. Average, again, to review, 31 for the high, 18 for the low, and it stays there the entire rest of the month of January, 31 over 18. And when I say adjustment and correction, I don't mean the next 12 days are going to be exactly 31-18, but we're going to be a lot closer to that than we have been over the past several days when we went from way below average to above average. Tomorrow's high 24, that's below average. Tomorrow night's low 16, that's close. 32 for the high on Thursday, again, that's close. And that's the ballpark that we'll be in the rest of the week and the weekend. Highs generally upper 20s, lower 30s. Lows generally middle and upper teens. Pretty close to average for January.
We're crunching up on the coldest time of the year.
Yes, we are.
What does the next 2 weeks look like?
31-18 for averages. That's the bottom of the chart. 31-18, it stays here for about 3-4 weeks. Then it starts to inch its way up in February. So we're closing in. We're pretty much have entered roughly the coldest time of year on average. And the next week or so looks to be pretty close to average, and it looks like it might be turning colder than average again for that final week of January, maybe into the start of February, as the Arctic air is trying to reload and rebuild again and may be ready for another blast into here at the end of the month. No extreme cold, though, for the next week. Colder, yes, but not extreme.
Now, Bob, I wanted to ask as well, because we've got this snow that's happening tonight and into tomorrow. Is there anything that you can see beyond that that looks significant at all?
In terms of snow?
Yeah.
No.
Okay.
I think there will be another round of light snow or snow showers, another disturbance like Thursday into Friday, maybe another inch or two or 1 to 3, something along those lines, maybe flurries again over the weekend. And but that's about it. I don't see any major winter storms or any prolonged lake effect outbreaks.
Subject to change, of course.
Right. And when I say I don't see any, I don't mean I'm looking out to March 20th. I mean for the next 5 to 7 days.
Certainly.
Yeah.
Certainly.
So spring isn't going to start next
no.
week is what you're saying.
No.
Darn.
Now, it's interesting. I want to talk. Snow has been reported all around the greater region today, and yet at the airport they have not reported a single flake. I'm not sure if you've run into any snowflakes in your travels today, but it's been snowing both to the north, to the east, to the south, and to the west. I'm not quite sure why it hasn't snowed at the airport, but the radar would indicate that it has been and is, albeit wet snow and light snow. But bottom line is we've already seen some snow in parts of the area. It'll be falling intermittently as we head into tonight. My concern starts after 7 and 8 o'clock when the temperature drops below freezing, because what starts out as wet will then become snow-covered and slippery.
You know, Bob, I think I have the answer for why we're not seeing snowflakes at the airport. It's because of the hot air spewing from this studio.
Right.
And it's
right.
having an impact on the weather. I mean, it has to be.
We've got a couple of flakes here.
All right. I wasn't going to comment on that.
Well, Bob, thanks for filling us in on what to expect.
You're welcome.
Have a good one.
You too.
All right, Bob Larson from AccuWeather, keeping us up on what's going on with the flakes. Snowflakes, I mean, not us.
At least we don't show up on weather radar yet.
You know, that's probably a good thing, I have a feeling. We're going to continue ahead. An interesting product that, yes, it's actually for sale. You won't believe it when we tell you about it. That's straight ahead. You know, we're finding that we're having a little chat and a radio show broke out.
Yeah.
Strange things happen.
Well, we both exercise to music, and that's what we were talking about.
I do that during the wintertime. I like to hook up my iPod and go on a run with it. But during the summertime, I like to just enjoy the nice warm air and the scenery around me. Mm. And I leave the music at home then.
Oh, see, I was going to say, put the headphones on the ears.
That's what I typically do.
Oh,
see, he's making me look bad because I don't exercise in the winter because, you know what, it's cold out there. I'm sorry.
The music's a little bit more motivation for me to get out there.
See, I can't exercise outside in the summertime because it's hot. I have an exercise bike in the basement and where it's cool year-round, mm-hmm. and I do well there.
I tell you what, living down south for a couple of years, I buy the whole it's too hot in the summertime. Because where I was in Louisiana, it was so hot and so humid that you walked out the front door and you started sweating just because you walked outside.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, mm-hmm. That sort of thing. No, that's I can't exercise in that. That's just not going to happen. So, you know, because I'll melt into a little puddle and nobody wants that. So
I used to work with sales reps who worked in the South, and they would take 2 or 3 shirts a day with them mm-hmm. to go out and work and then change their shirts in the car mm-hmm. because you can't walk from the car to the doctor's office without sweating.
Sure.
And I never heard of having to change shirts during the day.
Yeah, fortunately, places like Penny's and Kohl's were getting a lot of business at that point.
Yeah.
Well, I tell you what, Roger, I saw an interesting thing. You know, there's some strange stuff for sale. There really is. And we talked about this earlier. You brought up the Jesus toaster that was apparently on sale for, and I don't know when that was. It's been a while. But get this. And I'm assuming there's a need here. I don't know how they thought that this was a need to fill. But you know how kids of a certain age need to learn to use the bathroom. You know, so you get a potty chair and that kind of thing. But kids apparently need a little distraction when they're on there. So CTA Digital has come up with a very unique, dare I say, one-of-a-kind product.
And what's the name of the product, Jeremy?
It's the 2-in-1 iPotty. With?
With?
activity seat. As if there's not enough activity going on when they're trying to. Well, you hope there's some activity anyway. So basically what this is if you've seen a potty chair, that's what it is. But on the front, they've got a stand with a protective cover over it so you can put an iPad in there.
And it says there will be no smudges or soiling of the of the iPad.
Yeah, I'm trying to see how that was. Oh, against smudges and messy hands. Now, I'm looking at this and thinking, okay, you know what happens when a kid is learning that? They don't always get it right. Sometimes it gets everywhere. Personally, if I have an iPad, I don't want it anywhere close to that.
Stuff is flying, huh?
But this has its own little place on Amazon.
Well, that's who was selling the Jesus toaster, too. For the uninitiated, the Jesus toaster was a toaster that imprinted a picture of Jesus on the toast as mm-hmm. you made it toast. Hmm. And
of course, because what's more spiritual than eating a picture of Jesus on toast? You know, that's...
I wouldn't do that. That just seems wrong to... I mean, that's just my view. I'm just going to say that.
I found it sacrilegious to yeah. some extent. But
now, if it was Elvis, it'd be totally different.
Yeah, that would be cool. But no,
Elvis
this,
on your toast. There's people that I know that would absolutely have that toaster, I'm sure.
Not having had children, at what age would you be potty training said child?
Well, it depends on the kid.
Okay.
With our boys, it was a little later because they're boys. They take a little longer. I was around age 2, age 3. Sometimes they're younger than that when they get started, but right around that 2 or 3 area there.
What do 2-year-old kids do with an iPad?
Well, you know, they've
got... Are they surfing for smut already at that age?
Well, they've got apps out there that kids like, apparently.
Oh, okay. Because
I see those in the App Store every now and again. But to me, when a kid's on the john, they got one job. You know?
Don't distract them.
Yeah, you know,
flashing
you know
lights.
And... While you're there, here play. Why don't you play with Daddy's iPad? What a good idea.
Play this game, and we'll see how this goes.
Now, you know, maybe it's something where if they could pull out, like, you know, a book of Elmo Goes Potty or something like that, and they can read along with their activity.
Uh-huh.
I don't know. Maybe that works. I don't have any idea. But to me, I think even in that case, you'd want the regular book.
Yeah.
I don't want my iPad turning into the, you know, I
doo-doo.
Yeah.
Poop-poop-a-doo. I sold.
Glad you said it, not me. Anyway.
My original iPad to a woman mm-hmm. who wanted to give it to her kids,
mm-hmm.
and she wanted. She didn't care that it was an iPad 1 when the iPad Air is out there.
Mm-hmm.
She and if the kids broke it, she didn't want to be out a mint.
Sure.
But her kids were a little older. That's why I was asking, what does a 2-year-old do with an iPad?
You know, honestly, my 4-year-old would love to get a hold of my phone, and I don't let him do that, let alone an iPad.
Oh, okay.
So I wouldn't feel comfortable with him getting a hold of the thing and not being on the pot.
How old is your son?
My son is 4.
No, the other son.
12.
Does he have a cell phone yet?
He does.
Okay.
But it's not a smartphone. So.
Oh. Is he bothered by it not being a smartphone?
I don't know. See, he got my old smartphone that basically has all the old apps I downloaded.
Oh, well, so then it's a sort of smartphone.
Well, it's not a phone, so it's a smart
thing.
Yeah. So I think he kind of likes that. He was complaining a few times of all the games are old on here. And I said, deal with it.
Yeah. Be older if you didn't have any.
You know, you're not getting a phone, okay? You're not going to get that. You know, we've got the phone basically to get in touch with him when we need, but no, not the smartphone.
What's the age appropriateness level for a phone? your younger son, what age will he get one?
You know, I think a lot of it just depends on what he's doing at the time, where our life stage is, and how reachable he'll need to be, and that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And I think it's different for every kid, because, you know, some kids are a little more responsible than other kids. So.
So when he starts doing things on his own and you'll want to find him, that's when he's going to get a cell phone.
Probably, yeah. Okay. Yeah.
I get it.
Certainly. Well, on the note of the iPotty, we got to go.
The trifecta continues after CBS News and Kalamazoo's news from the WKZO.com newsroom on 590 WKZO Kalamazoo.